And we've only looked at a few so far. We've looked at the diversion of hesitation in regards to Lot and how Lot was told to come out of the city, and yet Lot struggled to be obedient to that, and he refused to leave the city. Then last week we looked at the diversion of correction, and the Lord tried to get Balaam's attention. This week I want to look at the diversion of distraction. How many of you are easily distracted? Now, I don't know about you, but I am easily distracted to the point where it drives Joe crazy. So let me give you a little example. So I'll be doing something like preparing food. So I'll be maybe chopping food over on the work counter, and I think, oh, I need to get a recycling bag for the food waste. So I go across to the cupboard then where the recycling bags are, and that's near where the washing machine is. So I go and get recycling bags, and then I think, oh, there's washing it. I could probably put some washing in for Joe while I'm doing this. So I'll start to put some washing in, and I think, oh, I'll just go and check up in Eve's room just to see if she's got some washing up there as well. So I go up to Eve's room and go to pick up some washing, and think, oh, her cupboard is broken. She'd be wanting that changed for a while, so I'll go and get that fixed. And then Joe will phone me and say, where are you? And I'm like, well, I'm in IKEA buying a cupboard. And she said, well, you're meant to be cooking food. I know that probably is a little bit over-exaggerated, but I do tend to do stuff like that where I'll be doing one thing and then I'll see something else, and I'm easily distracted. I would defy anybody to say that they've never, ever once, when driving, have stopped or slowed down to look at an accident on the other side of the road. As a people, we are easily distracted. How many of you have ever been to a restaurant or somewhere for food and there's a TV in the background? And again, this is something I do, and Joe just goes absolutely crazy because she's trying to talk to me, and there's nothing on the telly that is remotely interesting, but yet your eyes are drawn there, and you're missing out on the conversation because you're easily distracted. I know men like to think that we can multitask, but we can't. We are easily distracted. But here's the thing, we get easily distracted in life. We also get easily distracted when it comes to our spiritual walk. You know, each and every one of us maybe starts off in January with a resolution to read through our Bible, and we get halfway through January and we start off with great passion and dedication, and we don't miss a day, and then it doesn't take long for something else to take our attention when we should be reading our Bible. Maybe, you know, we've started a ministry, or we've started doing something for the Lord, we've been committed to the Lord, and then suddenly something else will take our attention away from the Lord. And here's the thing, Satan and his whole host of demons are very clever in getting the Christian distracted. We're a people that are easily distracted anyway, and it doesn't take much for us to start to kind of wander when it comes to spiritual thoughts. And life is full of all kind of distractions, but we have to know how to deal with them and how to cope with them if we are going to stay spiritually focused. If we want God's will to be done in our lives, we have to be aware of the diversion of distraction. So what can we learn from this diversion? Look at Genesis chapter 11 and verse 27. It says, now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abraham's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came into Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this time together today. Thank you for the privilege of coming around your word. Father, I just pray that you would help us today to recognize the dangers of being easily distracted in our spiritual lives and being distracted in our walk with you. I pray that you would help us to see the dangers from the diversions of distraction that we can learn from Abraham's life. And Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts in such a way tonight that we would indeed once again keep our eyes fixed firmly upon the Lord, and that we would follow the path, as it were, that he has laid out for us. Help us not to be so easily distracted from a spiritual point of view. And may your will be done in our lives, and we'll praise you for it. For we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So when we look at the life of Abraham, we see that God had a special purpose for his life. God called Abraham to go into the land of Canaan when he lived in Ur. Genesis 12 is the second call from God to Abraham. The first one being in Ur. He told him to leave Ur of the Chaldees and go to a land that he would show him. Stephen said this in Acts chapter 7. He said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I will show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell. God called Abraham to leave Ur of the Chaldees to go into Canaan. Ur means light or fire. And it comes from the Hebrew word which means to make light or to kindle. And it was a city comprised of fire worshippers. The chief deity of Ur was Nana, the moon god, and his temple was about 1,200 by 600 feet. So this city was a city of idolatry, and 2 Kings 19 reveals that. Have the gods of the nations delivered them, which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan and Haran and Rezeph and the children of Eden were they in Thesla? So Ur was an idolatrous city. Today, the Ur today is called Tel Megiddo, which means Mound of Bitumen. And it is located about 140 miles south of Babylon and about 12 miles from Eridu. It is the traditional site of Eden. Ur was located in the section of Mesopotamia known as Sumer. And Abraham was called by God to leave this place. Instead of going straight to Canaan, he took a diversion and he ends up in Haran. And it wasn't until after the death of his father that he ended up then going from Haran down to into the land of Canaan. So after the death of his brother, and this is going to be a bit confusing now because his brother was also called Haran, and it's possible that the city was named after the brother. So, after the death of Haran, Abraham, his father, and his family headed about 600 miles to the city of Haran. And like I said, it was possibly founded by Abraham's brother. It is possible that when Haran, when Abraham's brother Haran went to this place and ended up calling it the city of Haran, after he died, it is possible then that Terah left to go up to Haran, the city, to settle Haran, his son's his son's affairs after his death. But while in Haran, Abraham gets distracted. Abraham has had the call to leave Ur of the Chaldees to go to a land where the Lord will show him. He comes as far as Haran, the city, and then stops. He is distracted. He is bogged down. He is delayed. And maybe maybe Abraham's father slowed him down. Maybe his health was not good. Maybe Abraham was concerned for his father after losing his son. Terah was also an idolater, and that's possibly why God wanted Abraham to leave of the Chaldees, and he wanted him to leave the family behind because he had a special job for Abraham to do, and he wanted him to separate from that idolatry. It's interesting to note that Abraham's father, Terah, actually the name means to delay. It means station, to stop, or to delay. And this is exactly what happened to Abraham. It reminds us of the fact that we ought to be careful with the crowd that we associate with, because sometimes there are people in our lives that can hinder our walk with the Lord. There are people in our lives that can delay our progress with the Lord. There are people in our lives that can distract us from our walk with God. And they can, whether that's a parent or a spouse or a friend or a child or whatever it might be, they may very well be people in our lives that can distract us from serving God. You know, why do you want to do that? Why do you want to put so much effort into going to church? Why do you want to go to church so often? Why do you spend so much time in your Bible? Why are you always witnessing? Why are you always reading that book at your desk in work? Why? And there may be people that come our way that are simply there to distract us from growing in the Lord. God's call to depart was to Abraham alone. He called him to go to the land. That was God's plan for him. Isaiah 51:2 says, "Look unto Abraham your father and unto Sarah that bear you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him." But Abraham delays in Haran. His partial obedience in this matter was in reality disobedience. There's no such thing as being partially obedient to the Lord. We're either obedient or we're not. We can't be partially obedient, because partial obedience is just another form of disobedience. He was to leave his father behind. He wasn't to delay. He was to leave Ur of the Chaldees, and he was to go to a land that the Lord would show him. He was to go to Canaan. Haran is a picture for the Christian life of spiritual delay. Haran became a stumbling block in Abraham's life. It was a place, as I said, of partial obedience. It was a place of dryness. And Haran is a that's a picture of the Christian life. If we get to a point where we're distracted and we only go as far as Haran, spiritually speaking, we'll go through a period of spiritual dryness. It'll feel like the Lord's not speaking to us. It'll feel like our prayers are not being answered. It'll feel like God's will is not being done in our lives. It'll feel like nothing is going our way. And that doesn't mean that God's will means that everything is plain sailing in our lives. Even when things are against us, we can still have the joy of the Lord and know we're in the center of God's will, even when everything's falling apart, just as Job did. But there comes a time when we as believers get spiritually distracted and we get as far as Haran and then we stop. And we enter into a period of spiritual dryness. What then do we do? When we get to that point, what do we do? We have to follow God's leading. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, Proverbs tells us to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not unto our own understandings. Oftentimes, we can come to the city of Haran. We can come to that period of spiritual dryness in our lives. We can come to that point where we are stuck, as it were, spiritually. And then we try and work things out for ourselves. We're no longer relying upon God. We're no longer relying upon his word. We're no longer trusting in the power of prayer. We're no longer consulting, as it were, for godly counsel with other believers. We're relying upon our own strength. We have come to that period of spiritual dryness, and we end up being stuck. Why? Because we've become distracted. We've taken our eyes off the Lord. We've stopped following him, and we've started leaning on our own understanding. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Put him first. Don't go through your life being spiritually distracted. I don't know if you've ever seen the Pixar film Up, with what's the dog's name, Doug? And every time he gets distracted by a squirrel, and that's all he does. He's going in one direction. All of a sudden, he goes squirrel, and we're like that as Christians sometimes. You know, we feel like the Lord is calling us in a certain direction. We want to get more involved. We want to get more committed with our Bible reading. And we want to witness to more people. And we want to pray more. And we are heading in that direction. Then suddenly, squirrel, we get distracted. Something else comes up in our life. We come to a Haran, as it were. And then we complain to God because we're in a period of spiritual dryness. Well, what has happened? We've stopped following the Lord. We've stopped following his leading. We've stopped following his direction. We've stopped listening to his commands. We've stopped obeying his word. We've stopped coming before his throne. Don't stop following him. Don't get distracted. You know, when we used to go shopping with the kids, when the kids were little, I was terrible, because my worst fear was losing them. You know, we'd go shopping and I would always make sure that I'd grab hold of their hands. And sometimes they didn't want to hold your hand. You know, they didn't want to hold on. They kind of wanted their independence. I suppose that's just typical of having girls, because they were fiercely independent. They didn't want to hold hands, not realizing it was for their protection. I was petrified that they would just wander off in a shop, because that's what I used to do all the time when I was younger. We'd go shopping with mum and dad, and you know, they'd be looking at something, and then you'd see something shiny, and you'd wander off in the middle of the shop. But we do that spiritually sometimes. And it's almost as if God is saying, child, just hold my hand. And we're like, no, we don't want to do that. I want to do things my way. And then we just become spiritually distracted. Don't become distracted from following God. Don't turn aside. Deuteronomy 5:32 says, "Ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left hand." But we want the shortcuts, don't we? Sometimes we feel, this straight and narrow path that I'm on, it's just a little bit difficult. So surely that right-hand path there looks a little bit easier. If I can just get around this obstacle. But maybe God has put that obstacle in our way, either for our protection to stop us going in that direction, or for our benefit so that we learn from getting over that obstacle. He's not put that obstacle there for us to avoid it completely. But we want the easier path. And he's saying, don't turn aside. Samuel said unto the people, "Fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart." He went on to say then a few verses earlier, consider all that the Lord has done for you, that we should serve him because of all that he's done. We're not to turn aside. Don't get distracted. Keep your eyes upon the Lord. You know, we live in a day and age now where it's easy to get distracted. It's easy to focus upon the negativity that is reported in the media day after day after day. And do you know what? It is draining. It's got to the point now, I don't want to listen to the news. I don't want to watch the news. I don't care. If I never hear the word COVID again, or I never hear the word coronavirus again, it will be too soon. But sometimes we just focus on that continually. Wouldn't it be great if we put as much effort into focusing upon the Lord as we do upon the news or the things of the world? Don't turn aside. Follow him. If you look at the world, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to be disheartened. And do you know what? It's going to lead to depression. Keep your eyes fixed firmly upon the Lord. Don't turn aside. Listen to him. James 1:19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Listen to the Lord. And sometimes that means that we have to do away with all distractions. Joe is terrible. If she's in the room and she's trying to do reading, and if I finish mine first and then I start talking, she can't concentrate. She can't be reading something and have the noise on in the other room. If there's music playing or if the TV's on, she can't do it because she becomes distracted. When I'm studying, I like to have music on, but I can't have music I can't have any words because the words will distract me, and I can't have any music that, I can't have instrumental music of hymns or whatever because then I'll start singing the lines of the hymn. So I've just got to have just music. Why? Because otherwise you get distracted. Like I said earlier, if I'm in a restaurant and I'm talking to Joe and or anybody and there's a TV on for some reason, you can't help it. It's like a moth being attracted to the light. It's like a fly. I'm sure he's had family members head off to that bright blue light and never come back, but they can't help themselves. And I'm like that. I'm like, oh, light. It's almost as if maybe we've been hypnotized by the TV. Sometimes when somebody's trying to talk to us, if there is a noise going on, or if there is another conversation going on, we are distracted, and we can't always listen to the person that's trying to get our attention. We need to listen to the Lord. There is a lot of voices that are trying to get our attention today. the flesh wants our attention. The flesh is not happy that, you know, it's lost the upper ground, as it were, because we're no longer servants of the flesh. We, you know, we've got a new nature, as it were. But the flesh wants us back, so it'll vie for our attention. The world wants us back, so that will do everything it can to distract us from listening to the Lord. Well, you know, surely the Bible's wrong. Surely the Bible's out of date. Surely, you need a more updated Bible, more in tune with the times today. And, you know, there's all of these different viewpoints now, and that's so archaic, and we need to listen to all of these other voices. That's a distraction. You know, the devil can't get your heart, but he'll get in your mind. And he'll whisper in your ear. He won't shout. He'll imitate God like a still small voice, and he'll come alongside you. Yea, hath God said. He didn't shout and bawl at Eve. He didn't frighten Eve. He was quite persuasive. You could almost see him when he's tempting the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he spoke, with a softness almost. Don't be distracted by the voice of the world. Don't be distracted by the devil's temptations when he whispers in our ear. Don't be distracted by the flesh trying to get the upper hand. Listen to the Lord. Make time to read the Word. Because if we're in the Word, we need to obey the Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Draw close to the Lord. James says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. That's why it's important to know the truth of the Scripture. You know, if we don't know anything about God, how can we draw closer to God? You know, Joe and I have been together now for 1993 years. 20, 30, I don't know, what's that? Help me out, love. 27 years. I know we've been married 24 years in September, so we've been together 27 years. So, you know, we know each other. Joe knows when something's not right with me because of my body language, because of the way I look. And I know when something's not right with Joe. I know when her back is playing up because she has a certain look in her eyes. And we know one another. Well, how do we know one another? Because we've spent so much time together. Because we've learned almost everything there is to learn about one another. It's the same. If we are to draw nigh unto God, then we have to learn all we can about him, to spend time with him, to know what he's like. It's important to know the truth of the Scripture, because if we know the truth of the Scripture, then we'll know who God is. We'll know what he's like. We'll know what pleases him and what displeases him. We'll know and have an understanding of what it is to be obedient to him. When we're ignorant of the Scripture, it'll always lead to distraction. But if we know the Word of God, when something crops up in our life, rather than being distracted by it, we'll have a word of Scripture to say, oh yeah, well, I can't go down that path because the Word of God says. Yeah, well, I can't be distracted by this temptation because the Word of God says. Well, I can't be distracted by this particular sin because the Word of God says. Well, I can't go down that road because that's a distraction that is doctrinally incorrect because the Word of God says. Don't be distracted by the cunningness of the devil. Ignorance of God's word will lead to distraction. In September 1864, Confederate General Nathan Bedford Forrest was leading his troops from Decatur, Alabama, towards Nashville, Tennessee. But to make it to Nashville, Forrest would have to defeat the Union Army at Athens, Alabama. When the Union commander, Colonel Wallace Campbell, refused to surrender, Forrest asked for a personal meeting and took Campbell on an inspection of his troops. But each time they left the detachment, so they would come and they would inspect these troops. Each time they left to go and inspect the next detachment of troops, this group of soldiers would pick up camp and move to the next spot and set up camp. So when they came to the next detachment of soldiers, it was the same group of soldiers they had just seen. And then they went on to another encampment, and these soldiers would pick up their camp and they would move on to another area. And this went on and on and on. So the Union commander tallied up the impressive number of Confederate soldiers and weaponry, and he realized that he was completely and utterly outnumbered, and he surrendered unconditionally. And knowing that they actually outnumbered the Confederate army. Satan does the same thing to us. He distracts us and he deceives us into thinking that we're already defeated. But we know, if we have a knowledge of the Word of God, we know that we already have the victory. Satan is the one that is a defeated foe, not us. All he wants to do is distract us so that we don't serve the Lord as we should. And you know, he has a few weapons of his own. You know, we have the armor of God as our arsenal of weapons, but Satan has his weapons, and he uses the weapons of bitterness to distract us. An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgressions. So many Christians have been distracted in their walk with the Lord, have been distracted in their church attendance, and they're out of church because they've become offended or angry with somebody else, and whatever that is, whether it's a church member, a family member, a preacher, whatever it might be, and the bitterness has started to eat up inside them, and before you know it, they're distracted. They're no longer walking with the Lord, and Satan's got them exactly where he wants them, because he's just used that weapon of bitterness, and they're no longer walking with the Lord. Can I say this to you? Don't get distracted by anger or bitterness. Don't allow the devil to plant that seed of bitterness in your heart against somebody else. Just keep your eyes upon the Lord, and it is possible to love somebody and to forgive somebody with God's help, because with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. Satan uses the weapon of wickedness to distract us. Proverbs 4:14 says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, go not in the way of evil men." Satan uses sinful pleasures to distract us. And let me tell you something again, and I've said this time and time and time again. Whoever invented the phrase "as miserable as sin" did not know what they were talking about, because the Bible says there is pleasure in sin, but it only lasts for a season. And Satan will use all the trimmings and trappings of sinful pleasures to get us distracted and to get us off course and to get us off our path and to get our eyes off the Lord. Don't allow him to distract you with the weapon of wickedness. Wandering eyes will get people into unnecessary trouble because they are distracted by wicked lifestyles. The psalmist, David said in Psalm 119, "Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way." Satan will use the weapon of stubbornness to get us distracted. Sometimes we are a stubborn people. We refuse to admit that we're wrong. And there was an old sailor who repeatedly kept getting lost at sea, and his friends were so fed up with going out to try and rescue him that they bought him a compass. And one day he gets lost again. They finally catch up with him and they rescue him. And they said, "Why didn't you use the compass?" And he said, "I tried, But he said, no matter what I did, he said, that compass would not point north. It kept pointing southeast. He refused to go in the direction that the compass was telling him to go in because he thought he knew best. Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The world is headed headlong to a Christless hell because they think they know best. You know, the church is just a nonsense. The Christian is just a bigoted, narrow-minded type of person. We know what's best. We know the right way to go. And guess what? Without the Lord Jesus Christ, the world is headed to a lost eternity. But there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Good people have been distracted by their own stubbornness, where they refuse to accept the Lord as their Savior. But believers have become distracted because of stubbornness, because they refuse to follow the Lord's leading or the Lord's guiding, or, you know, they refuse to listen to the Lord to put things right in their lives. Don't become distracted. Beware of that distraction of delay, of the diversion of distraction, sorry. Be aware that the devil will use those weapons to get us distracted and to take our eyes off the Lord. You know, there was an interesting story in October 2009. Something very unusual happened on a Northwest airline flight from San Diego to Minneapolis. The plane ended up overflying Minneapolis by 150 miles. They lost contact. Air traffic controllers throughout the country became concerned because they couldn't contact the pilots on the plane. Both air traffic controllers in Denver and Minneapolis repeatedly tried without success to get the pilots on the radio. Other pilots in the vicinity tried to reach in the plane on other radio frequencies. Authorities became so alarmed that the National Guard jets were readied for takeoff at two locations. The White House Situation Room was alerted, and they were monitoring Northwest Flight 188 with its 144 passengers and five crew members as it flew across the broad swathe of the mid-continent, completely out of contact with anyone on the ground for 77 minutes. What had happened? Were they asleep? Were they in conversation? Were they not paying attention? Were they hijacked? No, for more than an hour, they were out of communication with air traffic controllers because the pilot and co-pilot were working on their laptops. They did not realize their blunder until they were contacted by one of the flight attendants on the plane who asked them when they were going to land. The two veteran pilots with a combined flying time of 31,000 hours acknowledged that while they were engaged in working on their laptops, they weren't paying attention to the radio traffic, they weren't watching messages from their airplane, and they weren't paying attention to the cockpit instruments. Isn't that comforting? Senator Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota hit the nail on the head when she said, this incident was the ultimate case of distracted driving, only this time it was distracted flying. Beware of the diversion of distraction. It can take you off course. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Do not turn aside. Keep on keeping on. Listen to the Lord. Study His word. Obey His word. Apply His word to your life. Draw close to the Lord. If you draw nigh to Him, He will draw nigh to you. Don't allow the devil to distract you with the weapons that are at His disposal. The weapon of bitterness, the weapon of wickedness, the weapon of stubbornness. Let's not get distracted. Let's not end up in Haran, a place of dryness spiritually. The Lord has done far too much for us to simply end up in a barren place spiritually, to to do nothing with our lives. How heartbreaking it is when you've seen people come to know the Lord and you've seen them be baptized and you've even seen them in ministry, to then suddenly see them back in the world, living their life even worse than they were before they made a profession of faith to the Lord. What happened? They became distracted. Something happened in their lives spiritually that caused them to be distracted, and they took their eyes off the Lord, believed the lies of the devil when they should have known better, and succumbed to the weapons that he used against them. Don't be like that. Don't get distracted. There's too much to do, and there's too little time to do it. The Lord is coming back soon, and we need to be busy about his business. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this time together tonight. And Father, I pray that you'd help each and every one of us to not head down that road of diversion. Help us to not be distracted when it comes to our Christian walk. And Father, I just pray that you would help us tonight, Lord. If anything that's been mentioned tonight, Lord, if there's a bitterness welling up inside us, Lord, if we've been tempted to commit particular sins, Lord, if there's a stubbornness where we're refusing to accept you rule and authority in our lives, if we're refusing to study and obey your word, just help us to put that right, Lord. Help us to get back on that right path. Father, that doesn't mean that difficulties won't come our way, but it just means that we're able to deal with those difficulties in the right way because you were with us. Help us to not get stuck in Haran, Lord, that spiritually dry and barren place. But help us to live our lives that are pleasing to you and that have a positive effect for the cause of Christ on the lives of others. Father, we pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right, let's sing our last hymn together. I heard an old story. Our Savior came from glory. Amen. Victory in Jesus. Amen. much for the victory we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that we are not a defeated people. And Father, even though we go through times of difficulty, even though we go through times of trials and tribulation, Father, I'm thankful for the fact that we always have the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I just pray that whatever the need is among your people tonight, you know those who are hurting, those who are struggling, those who may be on that diversionary path of distraction, Lord, I pray that you would speak to hearts tonight. Help us to keep our eyes fixed firmly upon you. Help us to draw nigh unto you. Help us to not turn aside. Help us to not turn away from your word. Help us, Lord, to not be distracted by the weapons of the enemy. And Father, I pray that you would just continue to speak to our hearts in these difficult days, and that you might use us as a witness and a testimony to those who are fearful, to those who are afraid, to those who are lost. Help us to encourage those who are saved. Help us to bear one another's burdens. Help us, Lord, to continue to love one another. And help us to be a shining light to a lost and dying world. For we ask it in the precious and wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.